See, she's over there. She's trying to put her little one to sleep. Nomvula, as well as Bongani's sitting over there. So, yeah, we bring greetings from Danun. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. What a beautiful moment we are having. Without wasting much time, she's going to get to what I believe the Lord laid in my heart for us this afternoon. I might say this morning, because I'm so used to saying morning. So if I say that, please forgive me. So I'm going to preach that I felt the Lord putting in my heart, a very simple word, I believe, and a very simple scripture familiar to probably all of us, John chapter 15. And the title is very simple as well, just direct from the passage, the gardener, the vine, and the branches. That's a simple title to my preach. And now if we can have that John 15, verse 1 to 8, if we can read that together. Just the scripture itself, sorry, I may not have asked for it, but very sorry, my apologies. I should have asked for the scripture itself. Just NIV would be good. If we can have that up, just checking my time here, Tony. Yeah, just checking my time. So if you see, you just, you know, then I know I need to, yeah. So in the end, we have all the time that we need. So I'm trying not to be in the noon. We have all the time that we need. Marvin has been there, preached a number of times. We miss you, buddy. Please, come back. All right, let's read together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus speaking. And he, the Father, cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. Is that so? And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit, and this brings great glory to my Father. Apologies, I was thinking I'm going to get NIV. I might have said NIV, it sounded maybe NLT, but that was fine as well. And this is Jesus, and he's helping us with a picture. And one of the things that he often did in his teaching is the use of parables, use of stories, use of imagery, things that are common to man, common to us. And in doing so, he'll be helping us to understand something of the kingdom of God, something of heaven. So he would use stories that are natural to help us with things that are supernatural, or common things to help us understand things that were not common. And one of the things that he used is this story, or this image, this picture, the picture of a vineyard with a vine. And he first tells us here that the Father is the gardener. And I think in this story, what he's really trying to drive home is the relationship that every believer should or must have with him and the Father. And this relationship will help every believer to grow and to be fruitful. And I think for me, the question that I have for us tonight and the question I have for myself is, am I connected to the vine? Am I connected to the vine? Are you connected to the vine? And if you are you remaining connected? Are you remaining in Him? And the point of remaining and the point of connection is that we may produce fruit. And not just fruit, but the kind of fruit that the gardener is looking for. Because no farmer plants a vineyard for the sake of planting a vineyard. The farmer, when he plants a vineyard, beautiful vineyards we have around, you know, Western Cape and Stellenbosch. My wife and I were there a couple of days ago and just driving to go and pick up something. There's beautiful vineyards. But that's not the reason why the vineyards exist. The reason vineyards exist is because of the fruit that the farmer is expecting. And so here in the story, we have the gardener. And that's the father's role in the vineyard. And that's the father's role in your life and in my life. And the first thing we need to realize is that he owns the vineyard. He owns the garden. And he's the one who planted it. And so in verse 1, we are told that the father is the gardener. And he tends the garden. He's the one that nurtures the garden, that takes care of the garden, that comes into the garden and works in the garden to make sure that it produces what he planted it for. And so as the one who tends the garden, he knows when to come into the garden to remove weeds, when to come and cultivate, when to prune, what to prune, and how to prune. And I think that is for our lives, even as we read from the scriptures, that he comes and he cuts what needs to be pruned off the branches for one reason, and that is for the branch to be more fruitful. And we read this in verse 2 where he says, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, because his intention for the branches in the vine is that they bear fruit. So if they don't, he comes and he cuts them, but he also prunes the one that are bearing fruit so that they can be even more fruitful. And I think sometimes when God comes and he sees a measure of fruit in us and he goes, that's beautiful, but there can be more. And then so he comes and because he sees the potential, he sees what we can bring, and then he begins to decide that it's time to chop off maybe some relationships, and he knows when, and he knows how. Are we allowing him to prune us when it's time for pruning? Are we allowing him even to cut certain relationships for the sake of us bearing much fruit? Because that's what he expects. That's why we are here. So the Father is looking for fruit. And so the question that we have is, are we producing much fruit? Are we being pruned? And when he does so, are we allowing him to do it so that there can be much fruit in our lives? And so that's the Father's role. He tends the garden. He comes into the garden and he works into the garden. And he does what he does for one reason, for fruit. And so we come to the vine, which is the role of Christ into our lives. So Jesus said, I am the vine. So the Father is the garden and Jesus is the vine. And it's the vine that supports the branches, not the other way around. It is the vine that supports the branches. The branches are given the strength from the vine to withstand the winds. And it's been really very windy the last couple of days. And trees are still standing. The reason why those trees are still standing is because the tree, the trunk itself, gave support to the branches. And they could stand the strength of the winds that were coming. And so Jesus is the one that sustains us. He's the one that strengthens us. And so that's why we need to remain in him. So that we continuously get the strength to stand against the winds. You know, we're coming into December. I don't know about here. Maybe you guys are very safe here. But where we come from, December has very strong winds. There's all kinds of things that come along in December that unless every believer is properly connected and remain in the vine, in Jesus, come January, we will be talking a different story. So not only does the vine give strength to the branches, but also nourishment to the branches. And nourishment is for growth and for fruitfulness. And so we need Jesus for our growth. We need Jesus for fruit. Because without him, we can do nothing. Just as the vine is the source of life to the branches, so Christ is the source of life for every believer. And all of the nourishment every believer needs for fruitfulness is found in Christ. All the nourishment that we need is found in Christ. In verse 5, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need him. And as we're going to see right now, as we move into the branches themselves, the role that every believer has, we need him. It is true, indeed, without him, we can be absolutely nothing. And so he says here, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, that is in verse 2. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Why? Because the purpose of the branches is to produce fruit. The purpose that the branch has is to produce fruit. And so if the branches are not bearing fruits, the Father cuts them. And so we have the responsibility, and this is put on us, that we bear much, much fruit. And this fruit can only come if we remain in him. And it's true, to bear fruit, branches must remain in the vine. Unless we remain in him, we will not produce fruit. And when the branch remains in the vine, it does not put an effort to produce fruit. It happens naturally, because that's how God designed it to be. But when we try in our own effort, in our own strength, to produce fruit, and it shows that somewhere, somehow, we are not remaining in him. But if we remain in him, as a branch remains in the vine and be fruitful, we will naturally bear fruit because that's how God designed it. And so he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's from verse 4. And this issue of remaining in Jesus has been something that the Lord has been speaking to me personally, because I think sometimes remaining in him can mean very different things to different people. What does that look like? What does it mean to remain in him? And the simple answer is just like a branch in the vine. That's how he wants us to remain in him. A branch does not connect to the vine for a moment to get the strength, to get the nutrients, and then decide that I'm going to have a moment to wander away and come back when I need the nourishment again. And I think the challenge that we have sometimes is simple, that we tend to see these moments like this as moments to connect. That we wait for an experience. I am all for experiences. I love experiences. But experiences can be religious. What God wants is a constant relationship. A relationship that is not left to moments on Sunday afternoons. A relationship that is not left to every morning when we have our quiet times. Because sometimes we can look at it as we're there on Sunday service. It's been amazing. Wednesday evenings, it's been amazing. And I do have my quiet times every morning. I do get to spend time in the Word. I do get to spend time in worship. I do get to spend time in prayer. And then we put the full stop. And it was, Tony said the other day, we say amen, and then we walk away. And we disconnect. Yes, we have had a 30-minute, one-hour moment with him in the morning. But a day is not made up of 30 minutes, 1 hour. A branch that gets connected to the vine for 30 minutes a day, that branch cannot be a fruit. That branch cannot survive. Jesus is looking for a relationship. He's looking for connection. He's looking for us to remain in him. I see the spiritual health of every believer is not dependent only on Sundays, Wednesdays, or quiet times. They are completely and totally dependent on a constant connection, relationship with Jesus, with him. As I was just preparing, it just came to my mind that sometimes we may think of ourselves as a really good brand new cell phone that gets charging in the morning or in the evening whenever you charge your phone, and it goes for the next 24 hours, no need charging. And if we can think of ourselves like that, I think that's when we miss it, because we're not really like that brand new cell phone, most of us. I think many of us are like that old phone that now is struggling to keep and maintain the power throughout the day. And what do? We get a power bank. Have you seen, like the phone is like constantly connected, like they're walking around, the phone is there, the power bank, the connection is there, and the day goes. I think many of us are like that cell phone, if you were to be honest. We need to be constantly connected to Jesus. He's our power bank. And when we are connected with him throughout the day, then we can fulfill what God wants us to fulfill. Then we become useful, just like that cell phone. If it's disconnected, immediately the power goes off and the phone becomes useless. There's no fruit. And so, I want to leave that challenge with you. Don't see yourself as someone who just needs one moment and feel charged because you've had an experience. His presence. And I mean, you've had these moments like in the Holy of Holies. You've been there with him. Now go with him. It's not leaving him behind. And we go on with our lives. I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, remain in me. For what purpose, for what reason do we need to remain in him? For fruitfulness. Because the goal is fruit. What he's looking for is fruit. And not just fruit, but he's looking for much fruit. And he told us in quite plainly, I think it's about three times that he says this in verse 3. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And that's what he speaks about here. I give you the wrong scripture there. In verse 2, where he says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. In verse 5, you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. In verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. God is looking for fruit. So when he comes as the gardener, as the one who planted it, as the one who started it all, as the one who looks at it and he says, yes, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful vineyard. It's really reflecting something of him, because it is a beautiful thing that he started. But it's not just about looking at it and see how beautiful it is. It's about the fruit, because that's the goal. That's what he is looking for. That's why he planted it in the first place. And I think the questions, then it comes back to us, as I started with those questions, that are you connected to the vine? And are you remaining in the vine? And are you bearing fruit? The kind of fruit that God expects. And I do believe that by looking at this passage, there's two kinds of fruits that I think he's referring to. There can be more kinds of fruit, but I think the first one is the fruit of character. That God is looking for a character that reflects who he is, because that which has been in the vine is what gets transported to the branches. And so when you cut the branches, they bleed what is coming from the vine. They have no ability to create something of their own within themselves unless it has flown from the vine. So they reflect the vine. And I do believe this is the character, the fruit of character that God is expecting in all of us as those that are connected to the vine, that we reflect that fruit. The character of Jesus to be in us, every single one of us. And not only that, but I also do believe that the fruit that Jesus is looking for is the fruit of advancing his kingdom. Yes, the fruit of character, but I think the overwhelming evidence when I look at this passage as he continually talks about the fruit and the fruit and much fruit, I do believe that it is that of advancing his kingdom. Are we advancing the kingdom of God? Or we are just enjoying being in the kingdom of God? I see, if we just fall into the trap of just enjoying being in the kingdom of God, of enjoying being part of such a wonderful church. And I mean, look at us this morning, such a beautiful time. If that's all there is for us, then we have missed what God intends with each and every one of us. Because we are not being fruitful. The fruitful that I see here is that the seed, when it's planted, which is Jesus himself being planted by the Father, and this vine grows and becomes, and I mean, it's been more than 2,000 years of this vine just growing and growing and extending and extending. But there's more extension needed. There's more areas to be reached. And more fruit the Father is looking for so he can harvest. You know, one of the things has been a joy for me. I know Tony posted on our eldest group that I think how many 12 of you guys here went to Bloemfontein, is that so? Yeah, man, well done if you went. We had three or four guys going as well, and she was part of that. And one of the young men that went, it was his first time to be on an outreach. And so he didn't know what to expect. So chatting with him after he came back, the first thing he says was, "Oh, man, I'm going to the next one. I cannot wait for the next one." He really lucky. You can see his face just lighting up. That his experience when he went, it was out of this world. I mean, I was with my wife and we were sitting there and I'm going, "Oh, tell us more." I'm like, we want to know what happened, but he couldn't tell us what was going on. All he was saying was, "When is the next one? Another one coming? I need to be on it." I think there's something that he experienced when he went there, that they reached out to people. And he specifically spoke to someone, invited them to church. And he was surprised to see that person there. And going, "Oh, I can't believe you're here." I think they had a thing, get together, evangelism, and then there was a, whatever it was. And that person was there. And then the Sunday morning, that person was there. And it just brought so much joy in him. And I'm going, that's what God has called us to do. To go and produce fruit. And for him, maybe this was one of the first fruits. I'm hoping one of many to come for him. This year we had, I see Ryan sitting over there. We had Ryan and some guys, Bongan, sitting there, Nomful as well. About 17 of us drove to Zim, and we were going there on an outreach, 2 weeks of just going and encouraging churches up in Zim. I was kind of like a bit laid back because I'm going, man, I've got lots of youngsters. I'm here, but you know what? I'm like here to support them as they do what God wants them to do here. I've been here a few times already this year, so you know what? I'm just going to like just... And then off we went, and that was really beautiful. A long drive. We got to an area called Matopos, about 60, 80 kilometers outside Bulawayo. And spent some time with kids that most of them don't even know how their father looked like, maybe from phones. And we were there to speak to them and talk to them about how he is the father that is perfect. Spent time in the rural, you know, you got no network, and it was beautiful. It's like no network, like you cannot be connected to internet. It's like you're out there. Tony has been there, he's going, yo. You couldn't talk to him, and you're wondering, is my husband alive, you know?
There was, I just remember the guys got an idea. So they typed a message, and they were hoping to throw the phone up. So it would catch some, and just to tell the wives that we were okay. So it's like, throw it up, boys, throw it up. Didn't work.
You know, we were there, and in that hall, you saw the hall. And one of the things that just happened without us planning and getting us right is here. And it was the most beautiful moment for me in that trip that I can't remember who in the team just felt to gather all the kids. There's so many kids just from the bush, basically. It's rural. Nothing. Like, literally, it's trees are everywhere. So you look, just see kids coming, like, through the trees. And it's like, where are they coming from? And some of them have walked like kilometers to come, and they're there. And so we're just praying for them. We're praying for these kids. And one moment, as they gather around in the middle, and we just felt to sing this. I can't remember who from nowhere. And just begin to sing the song, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." You know, like as we're singing that song, the presence of God just came. And it felt like this is the moment that we came here for. That everything else that has been happening, yes, it's been happening, but that is nothing compared to what's happening right now. Because as we're singing to these kids, I could feel the Lord was doing something in their hearts. That there is someone who is up there that cares for us. There is someone who is up there that we need to have a relationship. That we can call daddy. Because we don't have dads. We don't know what that means. We don't know what that looks like. But there was one that we can connect to that we can call dad. And as we sing that song, and I just felt the Lord is saying, this is why you're here. Because these kids are going to grow. And one day they'll remember this moment. That there's people that drove from Cape Town that came here and they sang this song over us. They may not hear that song on the radio or somewhere, but the moment that they get into town, into cities, maybe they become teenagers or young adults, and then for the first time, maybe they hear that song, they're going to remember the day, the moment that, wait a minute, I remember hearing this song as a kid, someone singing this over us. God wants us to have those little moments. A couple of years ago in the same place, we were there with my wife. Now I'm going to tell you stories now. Sorry. And I totally forgot the name of the lady. we were there, and this lady, she was demonized, like really seriously. And we were there, we just started praying, and she was manifesting. And just my wife, and then we prayed for her, and yeah, we just pray, Lord, and then she was delivered. Yeah? Like, you could see, like, she's being delivered, and the Lord is working, and he's working. And it was a beautiful moment, and I was like, man, yeah, this is so good. We see God moving, and then off we went to Harare. We came back. 1 year later, my wife is not there, and I'm just with the team, the guys that we went up with. And this lady comes, and I could remember her. I was like, how are you? And she's going, where's Mimi? And I'm like, she didn't come this time around. And she's going, please, I need to talk to you before you go. And I was like, okay, yeah, you, I'm here, but whatever you want to say, I'm here. And then she comes later. I think Nomvula must have been there because she came with Nomvula at that point. And then she came to me and said, do you remember praying for me? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. Because I could not forget that moment. And I was like, yeah, I remember. And she went, please go and tell Mimi that the Lord has done amazing in my life, that I'm free. Look at me. I am working. My life has changed. As she's talking, I'm actually no longer hearing what she's saying because I'm remembering what happened when we prayed for her. And I'm looking at her and I can see her face. She's totally a different person. And I'm going, man, this is so good. This is what it means to advance the kingdom of God. This is what it means, even if it meant that that whole trip was just for one that person. And she's now serving in the kids' church. She's running that kids' church. And it's such a beautiful story that, man, when we say Jesus, yes. Like I was saying, the branch does not put in effort to be a fruit. It needs only to be connected to the vine. Last story. On the same trip with Ryan and the guys, we go to Harare. Some of you remember Neville. We were with Neville in the congregation there. And I mean, it's people that most of them we know. My wife and I, we've been there a number of times. And so we're in a moment, and it's something we're about to start a session. And I just felt the Lord saying to me, you can only give what you have. You can only give what? What you have. And many of us, I'm sure, as I say that, you remember Peter and John at the beautiful gate. What you're looking for, we don't have. Silver and gold, we don't have. But that which we have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And then the man walked. And I just felt the Lord saying that to me in that moment. It's like, you cannot give what you don't have. And as we started the session, and I just knew, man, we have nothing to give but him. That's what I felt in that moment. It's like, Lord, I thought we've got wonderful worship guys here. We've got skillful people. And I was hoping and thinking, this is going to be such a wonderful equipping of worshipers and worship leaders. And I just realized in the moment, now, all of that is nothing. It's him that we have that we can give. And as we begin the session, the presence of the Lord just came. And it's just starting to touch people, lives, and people just weeping and experiencing him. But in that, we begin to see repentance and people repenting. And specifically for one couple that was there. Couple that was together, but not together. Been married for, I don't know, maybe 40-something years. But for the last, who knows, 8, 10 years, there was no marriage, but still together. On the outside, it looks like, yeah, they're together, but I kind of had an inside kind of like understanding. And in that moment, as they experienced God, began to realize what they needed to do. There was repentance. And the beauty of repentance is this. Because of where the marriage was, there was bitterness and unforgiveness. And in that moment, just letting go of the bitterness and the unforgiveness. And here's what happened. Healing began to take place. Not just healing of the heart, but also physical healing. Because the Lord, the wife, was so sick that the doctors could not help her. For many, many years, she's been to hospitals. They could not find what was wrong with her. And the moment she forgave, the moment she let go of bitterness, it was the moment she was healed. And the Sunday, she testified, like, I have no idea what just happened to me. But one thing I know is that in that moment, I was healed instantly. And she said, like, I thought it was just like, gone for a moment, I'm going to carry on feeling sick again at some point. But it's been days now of me being free from my sickness because people just like us, not ordinary people, who didn't have anything but Jesus, had a moment with them. And why am I sharing this story? It's not what's in our hands that we can give. It's what we are connected to that can flow in us and through us. It is that fruit of God's kingdom advancing that the Father is looking for. I do believe that as a congregation, in my preparation of this prayer, I do believe that you're coming into even a season of much fruitfulness. But that fruit is not going to fall from heaven like manna. This fruit is going to be the working of God within our hearts, within our lives. That as you work in us, there's going to be so much fruit as men and women, young and old, rise from within this congregation, taking their place in the kingdom as priests and begin to serve and do what God has called them to do within these four walls of the building, but much more, even beyond the four walls of this building, that you begin to reach people. Even as we're singing a beautiful song in this moment that we were worshiping just now, the gospel of God, it is good news to our hearts. It is good news to the world. So it's good news here within us, but it is also, most importantly, good news to the world. But as someone said before, it's only good news if it gets there on time. And so we carry this gospel, we carry the good news, and we have to reach those that God has in his heart to reach, because that's the purpose of the vine and the branches, that we reach many, that we reach others, that we see the fruit that God has in his heart when he planted the vineyard. And I do believe God is challenging us to be fruitful, to be intentional about it. But it's all in our connection and remaining in him that we can be a fruit, that we can be fruitful. And let's close our eyes for a moment. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because it's him working in us and through us. See, the beauty of our God is this. He never asks us of anything that he has not given. Everything he asks of us is because he has provided. And that's why he would ask of us. And what he's asking of this afternoon is that will we be fruitful? But to be fruitful, we need to remain in him. Maybe this relationship with him, I've treated it like a relationship that we have for a moment, a Sunday afternoon, and a Sunday morning here and there. Maybe it's a relationship that we left to the Wednesday night. Maybe it's a relationship that we saw as something we can only have for 30 minutes in the morning. But God is saying, no, you are a branch that needs to remain. You need to remain in me throughout, constantly, not have a moment of being cut away, disconnected, but to remain in me. And I do feel even right now as I speak that some of us, we can see exactly where we disconnect, when we disconnect, why we disconnect. And the Lord is saying to us, there are so many noises around us, social media and you name it, bad news that are just going around, open a news channel. It's all about things that worries us. And sometimes these things take us away from the Lord and disconnects us. The Lord is saying, can I prune? Because I want you to be more fruitful. Can I cut away? Because I want you to be more fruitful. And if it's in your heart this afternoon, to be more fruitful, because that's what God is looking for, to be more fruitful in this beautiful vineyard that God has planted, will you stand with me? And we're going to ask of the Lord together. So, Lord, help us. We cannot do this in our own. But also in our standing.